Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
A linguist and a preacher walk into a room. Sounds like the setup to a bad joke, but we hope it's the setup to a good conversation. Linguist John McWhorter and Reverend Floyd Flake are back with us now on the show together for the first time to talk about life and politics. They will be in dialogue at a Manhattan Institute event tomorrow morning as well, along with Jeffrey Canada and Mayor Cory Booker. Reverend Flake, former congressman from Queens, is pastor of the giant Greater Allen AME Cathedral of New York in southeast Queens, and linguist John McWhorter, linguist and author and Manhattan Institute fellow, was last with us at our Martin Luther King Day event at the Brooklyn Museum. His books include Winning the Race, Losing the Race, The Power of Babel, A Natural History of Language, among many others. So good morning to both of you. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. And hi, Floyd.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good to talk to you. See you tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
No, that's the end of the conversation.
All right.
That's what you say at the end. I'll see you tomorrow. Reverend Flake, your church is in southeast Queens, which I know is one of the hardest hit parts of our area for foreclosures. Tell us how you're seeing the recession among your congregants.
Well, I think there are clearly a number of people who are struggling. We've created a Saturday sessions where they can come rather than waiting until they are 3 or 4 months into the process. I think one of the greatest and most fearful things for a person is to lose a home. But when they get into this kind of condition, they're often feeling ashamed and embarrassed to the degree that they don't do anything about it until it's far beyond the capability to be repaired. And so we've had significant losses, but we've also been able to assist a significant number of people in being able to retain their homes by putting them in relationships with persons who have the capability to help walk them through it. The other problem is, of course, African Americans have this thing about bankruptcy and don't understand that there are laws that can help them to protect their assets. And that is something that becomes a very difficult discussion because they think bankruptcy is really a sign of failure.
Like a lot of people do. And it's so interesting to me that you talk about the shame first, because I want to play you part of this rant that you've probably heard by a CNBC commentator from last week that's gotten so much attention, and I'm not sure why. It's hardly the first calculated rant by a cable TV guy, but this got all kinds of pickup in other media. So tell me if your congregation is experiencing maybe the same kind of division. This is just a very short clip of Rick Santelli, who I presume is not being foreclosed upon.
This is America. How many of you people want to pay for your neighbor's mortgage that has an extra bathroom and can't pay their bills? Raise their hand.
How about we all?
President Obama, are you listening?
So that came out in response to the Obama foreclosure relief plan and picks up on you know, this feeling that some people have, I guess, and I wonder if there's a division in your flock between people who have their homes and maybe in some cases made mortgage decisions that worked out better, and those who are losing their homes. Are they being labeled the irresponsible ones?
No, they are not, because in many instances, and I tend to like to think in most instances, people went into the process of home ownership with the right intentions, and conditions around them changed to the degree that they're not now able to afford it. I think there's been so much on this whole question of whether people actually purposely put themselves in this position, and I don't think that that has been the case. You know, my church has built over 600 homes here, and we have sold them. And some people were on the margins, but Every American still wants to be a part of the American dream and be a homeowner. And in many instances, the lending institutions work with them to get them into homeownership. And I would say that in some instances, it may not have been the right thing. But this is where we are now, and this is not a time for division. It's a time for us to work together to try to maintain strong communities. And I think the rant there, I think what he misunderstands is that if you have foreclosures, if you have property shutting down, it has a negative impact on the total asset value of the community and his property as well.
John McWhorter, you're moderating this panel tomorrow, which is billed as Black America in the Obama Era. Is there anything new yet, just a month after the election?
Well, what is going to be new, I think, is a way of looking at how we can address problems that certainly exist in the Black community under a new paradigm. And so, for example, last week there was the speech by our new Attorney General, Eric Holder, who's Black, and he was saying that we're a nation of cowards, that we don't talk about race, et cetera. And what that speech meant, you know, well-intentioned though it was a coded way of saying that our real problem is still a kind of racism, you know, on the part of whites, call it institutional, call it societal, whatever it is, and that's something that we need very urgently to talk about. I think in the Obama era, because we've seen that despite the racists that there are in the country, that we've elected a Black president, not to mention that we have a Black attorney general, that the idea that our main problem is still the color line, so to speak, and bigotry and, you know, racism in the system is obsolete. It's not that those things don't exist, but they're no longer the main problem. And what's wonderful about the sorts of things that Reverend Flake and the Greater Allen Church have been doing is that these are the sorts of things that actually help people that need help, while not being all about calling upon the nation to acknowledge its ideals and to heal itself and to redeem itself for the past and the fact that the present is imperfect. And so what this conference is about tomorrow is just showing three leaders. Reverend Flake is one of them, and then also Cory Booker and Jeffrey Canada of the Harlem Children's Zone, who are doing efforts like these in ways that are bearing fruit, in ways that are ingenious, and in ways that are what you can call an Obama-era way of addressing the injustices that there are, without going back into that old paradigm, which I think is no longer going to have the public ear, whether or not we might like it to.
How about even the relationship, John, that Americans have with Black History Month? Do you think the election of Obama changes that? If the path of history has been able to lead to this election, should it change the way we see the past?
Well, you know, I think that we have to look at the past as a source for figuring out how to make things better now. You know, there's some people who look at the past as a matter of don't get too comfortable, watch out and see what those people can do to you. And, you know, maybe there's a place for that. But I prefer to look at Black history as a matter of how we have managed to thrive despite the obstacles. And I think, you know, once again, whether or not people like it, the fact that we now have a Black president is going to make it very hard to teach most of the country that the better way to look at Black history is as something to see cautionary tales in. Because, yes, we've seen a great victory. The story of Black people in America starts out really hideous. I think we can look at it as a matter of gradual progress, and we really have something to rejoice about now. In short, I think that if we're going to use the old aphorism, we've come a long way, but we have a long way to go. It's at the point where we're no longer in the middle. I think we have to admit that we've come a really, really long way, and that's part of what the conference tomorrow will be about addressing.
You sound like a preacher, John.
Imitating my better.
Well, you know, he is a linguist, and so he's familiar with words. But Reverend Flake, as a preacher and a past politician, you certainly have an intimate relationship with language in your work. Are there people who were your oratorical influences coming up? And does the Obama speaking style, communication style, take us to a new chapter of either Black oratory or just American oratory?
I think it is. I think it must be considered American oratory, just as when one considers Dr. Martin Luther King and the marvelous nature of his speeches, what people often forget is here's a man who had a PhD in social ethics from Boston right. University, so he was able to move into right. the southern sphere to speak a language that they were not expecting from him. They expected him to be more like the traditional leaders that they knew, not that some of them were not well educated, but the way he could expostulate in that language, in the language and terms, was something new to them. I think he caught them totally off guard, and I think that when you look at history going forward, people like myself, who's 64 years old and older, are people who had the experience of the colored fountain, the colored restroom, and so forth. So Black History Month will not disappear overnight, because to us, it is still history. It is an understanding of how far we have come, but it also is the reminder of how far we still have to go.
And if we thought race was over with the election of Barack Obama, just look at the news of the last week. You mentioned, John, Attorney General Holder calling us a nation of cowards. We have the New York Post cartoon with the police shooting an ape like in that Connecticut woman's home and then saying who'll write the next stimulus bill. We have Congressman Clyburn from South Carolina saying his governor's opposition to the unemployment benefits and the stimulus bill is an act of racism because Black people are disproportionately losing their jobs. So race isn't over.
Oh, I wouldn't say race is over. It's a matter of in between, and I'm not sure whether I can make this a statement that resonates in any way. The issue is not whether there's still racism, not whether race is still of interest. It's whether it's still the main issue. And I think that you could say that it was 15 years ago, but I think we have made history at this point. And so I just want to look at the things that these other people are doing, because, you know, that cartoon will be history very, very soon, but people still need help getting their mortgages straightened up.
Congressman Flake, on any of those things?
I think John makes the point very clearly. I mean, that there is that reality. Race is going to not be as predominant in my thinking, but I do think that issues like those you just raised will bring race to the fore, and we're just going to have to live with it, just as other persons and groups in America deal with the same thing. Periodically you have a Jewish issue, periodically you're certainly going to have a series of Latino issues, and periodically you will have some issues that will deal with race as it relates to African Americans.
Reverend Flake, will the stimulus bill help in your congregation and your community?
The stimulus bill will certainly help, because the majority of our loans for homes came through banking institutions, and quite frankly, institutions that we put much pressure on, because we found that the people in this kind of neighborhood were spending 20% of their check, the cashier check, at check cashing places, and banks were not open to them in terms of making loans. So a lot of the doors that got open were correct. The problem is the regulatory process was not as it ought to have been in terms of making sure that the controls were in place to make sure that people were doing the right thing.
Can you imagine being back in Congress at a time like this? Do you think you'd find it difficult or exhilarating or what?
I found freedom when I left, and I enjoy this freedom, and my wife is happy about it, and thus I would not want to look back and believe that I would have wanted to be here in this season either.
All right. Living in the moment, as I'm sure you often preach to your congregation. Reverend Floyd Flake, former congressman, pastor of the Greater Allen AME Cathedral of New York in southeastern Queens, and John McWhorter, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Thank you both very, very much for joining
us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Take care now.
The linguist met the pastor, and words were exchanged. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we'll continue our Uncommon Economic Indicators series, and some of you have been giving us interesting stories about things regarding pets as uncommon economic indicators. Stay with us.